This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Fama ba'du, my brothers and sisters, we live in calamitous times. True, these are not as calamitous as other times in the history of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which we lived through, survived, and became stronger. But we can only deal with what we are faced with. So these times are difficult enough for us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help and protection. Help and protection for all Muslims everywhere, as well as for all innocent people. It is therefore very important to understand why difficult times happen and what to do about them. You will find that many well-meaning people gather to conceptualize and think about strategies to deal with difficulties, but nothing seems to work. Let me illustrate with an example. Say you want to cook a special dish. You put all the ingredients into the pot and you stir the mix very thoroughly, but nothing happens. The ingredients remain separate, and as you stir them, they just go round and round in the pot, but there is no sign of your dish being cooked. Then comes a chef into your kitchen, and in one glance, he knows what's missing and why your dish is not cooking. There is no fire under the pot. You have all the ingredients, but you did not light the fire. You did not light the stove. There is no energy to cook, and so the dish remains raw and cold. This is our state. We have all our schemes and technology and money and expertise and the desire to solve our problems, but we have not lighted the fire under the pot. The fire under our pot is our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ramadan al-Kareem comes to help us to connect, to remove the copper oxide on the wire and ensure that it is ready to receive the current. The power of the nur and guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our lives in both worlds. We spend almost 3 weeks fasting and praying and remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We feel close to Him and want to know Him. He, in His infinite mercy, said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداع إذا دعان فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. Allah Ta'ala said, which means, and when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, then I am indeed near them. I respond to the invocations, to the dua of the mudda'i and the dua of the supplicant when he calls on me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. I remind myself and you that all the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran are conditional. Do something to get something. Nothing will happen if nothing is done. Actions must leave our hands for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's decisions to descend. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be guided. The key is to understand this truth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who changes conditions. Not our wealth, not our influence, not our strength, not our politics, not our militaries, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our schemes will work only if Allah is on our side. Allah is on the side of those who obey Him, not of those who disobey Him and anger Him. Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who have taqwa and who are muhsinoon, who excel, who go beyond that and try to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all that they say and do. If there is no taqwa and ihsan, there will not be any help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we go to solutions, let us see why difficulties happen. The same rule applies to personal or global problems. So let us reflect on this in our own lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ وَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ سُوءًا فَلَا مَرَدَّ لَهُ وَمَا لَهُم مِّن دُونِهِ مِنْ وَالٍ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not change the good condition of a people as long as they do not change their state of goodness themselves by committing sins and by disobeying Allah. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills a people's punishment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided to punish somebody, a individual or a people, a qawm, there can be no turning back of it, and they will find besides him no protector. We must understand that difficulties and calamities don't happen randomly. In any difficulty, the first thing to ask is, what did I do to bring this upon myself? Whether this is at a personal individual level or whether it is at a collective level, same rule. Ask this question, why is this happening? What is my role? What have I done to bring this on myself? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ظَهَرَ الْفَسَادُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِ النَّاسِ لِيُزِيقَهُمْ بَعْدَ الَّذِي عَمِلُوا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, evil calamities have appeared on the land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned by oppression and by committing sins, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make them taste a part of that which they have done, in order that they may return by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begging his pardon. Two important points to note. One, that what we are seeing is the result of our own actions. And two, that this is not punishment for them, but a taste of the real punishment, so that we can take heed and change our ways and save ourselves from a much worse situation. Our society today is rife with disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every possible way. We not only disobey Allah, but we think this is our right to do so. We don't just do it by accident, we do it as a matter of pride. And we take pleasure in it, and we do it openly. It is not only our rich and powerful who do it. Every one of us oppresses the one below and kowtows and bows to the one above. Whether this is in the home or the workplace or outside in society, in every place, this is our way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, for example, Allah gave women rights that many so-called modern societies do not do to this day. But we Muslims deny those rights to our sisters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the pure halal and the impure and evil haram. But we indulge in all that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on those dealing in interest. But we accept this war and then wonder why we are faced with calamities. Take only one matter, dealing with interest. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dealt with this in such detail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّتُهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِندَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الرِّبَا إِن كُنتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in these ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah from 275 to 279, those who consume interest cannot stand on the day of resurrection except as one stands who is being beaten by shaitan into insanity. That is because they say trade is just like interest. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has permitted trade and has forbidden interest. So how can they be the same? So whoever heeds the warning from his Rabb and desists and stops may have what is past and his affair rests with Allah. But whoever returns to dealing in interest, those are the companions of the fire. They will stay there eternally. They will abide eternally therein. Then Allah says, Allah will destroy interest. Allah will destroy interest. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي صَدَقَاتِ Allah will destroy riba. Allah will destroy interest and will give increase to sadaqat and charity. Now, what bigger clarification do you want as a Muslim? This is not my word. This is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go look it up. I gave you the reference of the ayat. Allah will destroy riba. Allah will destroy interest and will give increase for sadaqah, for charity. And Allah dislikes disbelievers and sinners. Truly, those who believe and do deeds of righteousness and establish a salah and give zakat, they will have their reward with their Rabb. On them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. O you who believe, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba, from interest. Leave it from now onwards if you are really believers. It's a conditional ayah. If you refuse to give it up, then you decide. Allah says, fear Allah and give up what remains due to you from riba, means get out of it. From now onwards, if you are really believers. And if you do not do this, then take a notice of war. Take a notice of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you repent, you shall have your capital sums. Do not deal unjustly by asking more than your capital sums, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sums. I ask you, my brothers and sisters, what can be clearer than this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared war on the one who deals in interest, on his own behalf and on behalf of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Masud radiallahu anhu, in a hadith in Musnad Imam Ahmad, reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah has cursed the one who consumes interest, its client, meaning the one who's paying that interest, its witness, that is the one who witnesses that transaction, and its recorder, the one who makes up the document. Allah has cursed the one who consumes interest, its client, its witness, and its recorder. Interest-based dealings and adultery do not become widespread among people, but that they will become vulnerable to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah Almighty. Interest and adultery. Jabir radiallahu anhu said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cursed the one who consumes riba, who consumes interest, means who lends money on interest, and the one who pays it, and the one who writes it down, and the two who witness this. And he said, they are all the same. And this is in Sahih Muslim. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse whoever consumes riba, whoever consumes interest, whoever pays interest, the two who are witnesses to it, and the scribe who records it. Allah is my witness that I have stated it as clearly as I can with all the evidence that I know. It's your life, it's your akhirah, you decide what you want to do. We must ask whether somebody we are at war with will help us. You want to buy war from Allah, and then you want to raise your hands and you say, "Oh Allah, help me." Is it going to happen? It is insanity to imagine that what caused the problem, the same thing will also cure it. Each path leads to a destination. To go to another destination, we must change that path. Allah said, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ أَمَنْ يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. In Surah Taghabun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no calamity befalls, no calamity comes but with the leave of Allah. No calamity comes but with the permission of Allah. And whosoever believes in Allah, he, Jalla Jalaluhu, guides his heart. He supports him. He helps him to understand the difficulty that he's facing. He shows him solutions. Whosoever believes in Allah, he, Jalla Jalaluhu, guides his heart. And Allah is the all-knower of everything. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we will be comforted in the midst of the difficulty that we are facing. The difficulty is itself a sign of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it comes to save us from burning ourselves in the fire. It's an early warning for us to turn away from our path that leads to Jahannam. Allah said, وَلَنُزِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَدْنَى دُونَ الْعَذَابِ الْأَكْبَرِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. Allah said, and verily, we will make them taste of the near torment, which is through disasters, calamities, illnesses, pandemics, prior to the supreme torment in the hereafter, in order that they may repent and return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become obedient to Allah. The Quran al-Kareem teaches us that the solution to all problems is to repent. Own up. In Surah Al-Hud, Hud alayhi salam says, Ya qawm istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayh yursili samaa alaykum midrara wa yazidukum quwwatan ila quwwatikum wa la tatawallaw mujrimin. He said, O my people, ask forgiveness of your Rabb and then repent to him, and he will send you rain, from abundant rain from the sky, and add strength to your strength. So do not turn away as mujrimun, as criminals. There are many ayat with this meaning in reference to many Anbiya alayhimus salam, which show us that everything good begins with repentance. Only when we accept our mistakes and crimes can we hope for the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cool and for the difficulties to be removed. In our materialistic minds, we must accept that it is not our schemes which will help us, but the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This we must invoke by istighfar, by repentance, and by tawbah, by turning towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we remain stubborn, the suffering will remain no matter what we do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about two mistakes and the difference in approach which led to their endings being very different. Let us see how we behave. Adam alayhi salam and Hawa alayhi salam, our mothers and our father and mother, disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when they realized what they had done, they were immediately contrite, immediately repentant. They accepted their mistake and sought forgiveness. قَالَ رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. They said, O our Rabb, we have wronged ourselves. If you do not forgive us and do not bestow upon us your mercy, we shall certainly be of the losers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them and sent them down to the earth to remain here for a time and work according to the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to return to their home, that is Jannah. Iblis also disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but see what he did. قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارِ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ تِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him, see the mercy of Allah. He disobeyed, Allah did not immediately punish him. Allah is giving him a chance to repent. So Allah asked him, what prevented you? Why didn't you do it? What stopped you? Oh Iblis, that you did not prostrate when I commanded you. What made you disobey me? What did he say? Did he say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? No. He said, I am better than him. You created me from fire and you created him from clay. See, the totally different attitude. Instead of accepting his mistake, he justified it. And by implication, he's casting blame that the fault was with the order, not with him. He's like saying, your order is wrong, how can I obey? Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi rajiun. We need to ask ourselves who our attitude and actions resemble more. When we are warned about the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our ideas and for our actions. We must ask, because all actions have consequences. And that is why we must change now. Because one day that exit door will shut. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قَالَ فَاحْبِطْ مِنْهَا فَمَا يَكُونُ لَكَ أَن تَتَكَبَّرَ فِيهَا فَخْرُجْ إِنَّكَ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ قَالَ أَنْزِرْنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ Allah said, O Iblis, get out. Go down from this Jannah. It is not for you to be arrogant here. Get out, for you are of those humiliated and disgraced. Even then, Iblis does not repent. What does he say? He says, allow me respite. Allow me time till the day they are raised up, the day of resurrection. And these are the ayat of Surah Al-Araf. And he said more things about what he would do. All of them pointing to the fact that he dug himself deeper and deeper into his hole until he was lost. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides those who wish to be guided. Allah does not compel or force anybody. We choose our own destiny. Ramadan comes to give us another chance to change our path and turn towards Allah. For those who do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ Say, O Ibadi, say, O my slaves, who have transgressed against themselves by committing evil deeds, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins. Truly, He is oft forgiving, most merciful. For those who repent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness is boundless. The condition is repentance and change. Now, because tomorrow never comes. Ramadan is our change opportunity. Let us take it and chart a different path for ourselves. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَىٰ آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا رَحْمَ الرَّحِيمِ